This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company, commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing and much, much more. To find out, drop them an email at info@spinnerjet.co.uk.
Lovely Dan Juby and
absolutely
his
and his team. Yeah.
Hey, we've had a tweet here from Everest Web Design. They say, hello, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin. We're here to provide you and your business with all your website design, SEO and branding needs. You can find us at everestwebdesign.co.uk. And of course, they've used the hashtag BBunker.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about this. Coming up in January, I know that's a little way off. It's actually on January the 15th, which is my mum's 92nd birthday.
Wow,
bless her.
Amazing.
But it's the Kent and Medway Business Summit. Now, I think this is the fourth year. Yes, it is the fourth year. And of course, it's going to be a virtual event this year. But it's an event for everybody in business in Kent to come along together with the establishment, so Kent County Council, the various borough councils, Medway City Council, and local authorities and Highways England. And it's basically talking about how we move the Kent economy forward and what we do. And the whole thing's managed by the University of Kent Business School. And they produce some really good reports out at the end of these events. So the Kent and Medway Business Summit will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and strategy for a return to growth. Hosted annually at the University of Kent by Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors and locating Kent, the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and the latest developments on Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. You can register for your free ticket for this event by going to kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. Let me give you that again because Jules got very confused over this last week.
What was it?
The web address.
Oh, right.
It's kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register.
All the dots, all the registers.
Yeah. It is actually on the Kent Business Radio website, and there's actually a blog about the whole thing. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/summit, you can read about the whole thing, and there's all the links to the registration links there as well.
It was great last year. I went in January. It was
really it was good, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I chaired one of the roundtable events last year.
And Channel Radio has been saying why entering business awards can help promote your business, and it's a Bridger House Bunker blog. And Diamond Circle Weddings have said today, we were finalists in 2019 and are currently completing our application form for the Ashford Business Awards 2020. And they said it's been brilliant. So well done. And hello, Diamond Circle Weddings.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Brian the Grantsman. That's Brian Hall. It says, Vanilla Web, that's me. I'd like a shout out, please, Paul, on today's Business Bunker Show. I'm waiting for the low-case grant to come back for Kent SMEs. Also waiting for my electric van for a 2-month free trial.
Ooh, I read about that.
Courtesy of Low Carbon Kent. Have you registered for yours yet? Give Brian a follow if you're interested in that, and you should be interested in that. Brian Invicta, that's Brian spelt B-R-Y-A-N. Brian Invicta is his Twitter handle. Brian the Grantsman, give him a follow on the Twitter and find out about your free trial electric van.
Brian the Grantsman.
Yeah. Come and visit our virtual venue where we're holding V Southeast Construction Expo. Using the latest technology, we can offer all the things that made live events work. Come and visit our virtual venue where we'll be holding V Southeast Construction Expo. We have built a unique networking and learning environment with great content, live Q&A and informative and expert speakers. The dates for the virtual and live construction expo are the 18th and 19th of November. You can find out all about it. You can find out who the speakers are, who the expert panels are, and you can register for your place by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk/virtual construction. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. And again, like the summit, you can also find that on the Kent Business Radio website by going to bizradio.co.uk and click on the business events tab, and you will find all the details right there.
Do you remember we had the lovely Dashiell Helmets on our show?
We did. It was Catherine Bedford.
Yeah, quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they're very stylish. So they are launching their new range of Olympic Team GB cycle helmets this month. And Dashiell, the UK brand, is producing stylish, eco-friendly cycle helmets. And they were chosen to supply the new cycle helmets for Team GB to use as they cycle through the around the Olympic Village. And the Olympic teams have access to their own fleet of scooters and Brompton bicycles to get about the vast Olympic Village. So providing them with a sustainable cycle helmet from a UK manufacturer brand was the obvious choice. And for Tokyo 2020, the buyers for Team GB actively source kit and product for the athletes that's environmentally friendly. So they've got bamboo toothbrushes, for example, and then they've got the Dashiell's recycled helmet. Although this year's Olympics has been postponed due to you know what, the helmets are still being launched to the public in order to help raise funds to support UK athletes. So for every sale from Dashiell, 15% of the proceeds will be donated to Team GB. And the same helmets will be available to purchase by us non-Olympians direct from www.dashiell.co.uk.
I caught up last week with Shirley Mansfield and Phil Bevan of Business in a Box. And they launched their new business planning tool. So why don't we have a listen to the interview with Shirley and Phil? Should we do that?
Good idea.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Shirley Mansfield and Phil Bevan. Hi, guys. It's lovely to see you again. Shirley, I've seen you in the last year or so. Phil,
yes.
I haven't seen you physically for a couple of years. But it's lovely to meet you both.
I remember doing your show when it was in its very, very infancy, probably about 10 years ago.
Do you know what?
We've been doing that interview as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Phil. We were down on the marsh then, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Yes.
Yeah, no, we've got lovely studios here in Ashford now. It's all, you know, dry and animal-free and all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, and funnily enough, just while we're talking about that, I think I first met you, Phil, on a Bank of England meeting.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Phil Eckersley.
Yeah, absolutely. And funnily enough, Alex Gorridge, who is the Bank of England South agent, it's his last meeting. The next one's his last meeting. He's moving to a different part of the country. And he said, I really, really want you to come because you were at my first meeting. And I think that's probably where I met you as well. I think the outcome of all of that is we're all quite old and we've been around a long time.
Sadly, very true.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, the way I'm looking at it now with how things are is we've made it this far.
Particularly the last 6 months.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, it's lovely to see you both. Thank you for joining us. Can I just ask you to introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about each of you, just so the listeners know a bit more about you.
Yes, yeah, so I'll kick off. So as you mentioned, Phil Bevan, been working with owner-managed businesses for longer than I care to admit. So accountant by background, but consultant sort of by qualification. And in between sort of helping out businesses, I've had quite a successful sales stint with the likes of Xero and Thomson Reuters. So a bit of a mixed bag in terms of the skill set I've got, but when it comes to business planning in a box, I'm probably the finance guy is the easiest way to think about me.
Okay, cool.
Okay, all right, and Shirley Mansfield, so affectionately known as the business planning coach. So I've been a business coach for years, 10 plus probably, and anybody that's seen my blog has seen my 35-year apprenticeship carry on. So I work as a business coach, similarly to Phil, with fast-growing businesses, ambitious business owners. I also do a couple of days a week working on the Innovate to Succeed program, which is out of the University of Greenwich, and also fully funded now actually by Innovate UK. So still very much in there messing up with businesses. And Phil and I started working or talking about business plan in a box, several months ago. Loads of months ago, actually, and so we come back together and we do a bit of work together now. So it's great.
So you're launching this new initiative, business planning in a box, and what inspired you to even look at that? What made you think, oh blimey, there's something here that needs doing?
I think because what staggered me was a piece of work I did almost a year ago now. And it was identical to a piece of work I'd done 20 years ago. So I did some research into what happens with small businesses and owner-managed businesses.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the things that go wrong and all the times they fail and all the hardship they go through, what my research 20 years ago was identical to the numbers that I was pulling a year ago. So in 20 years, with all the innovation and developments in cloud technology, challenger banks, different ways of financing things, nothing had moved, nothing had changed.
Right.
And I think what it comes back to is there is a lack of planning that's conducted by owner-managed businesses for a number of reasons which we can talk about in due course. Mm. But it was really about shifting the needle for owner-managed businesses and the disbelief that in 20 years, with everything that's gone on, they still fail at the rate they did way back when. So it was more out of frustration and also because I love working with them, to be blunt.
Yeah. Sorry, Sherry, go on.
I was just going to say, from my point of view, I see the constant stress on business owners' faces when something comes in from left field that they haven't really been expecting. COVID, for example, but other things as well. You know, I've had a business before where the silver price went through the roof and it just wrecked their business. They didn't know what to do. So I guess I see it from the receiving end of business owners that actually if they had a plan in place and they had done the business planning at the good side and the bad side, they would be in a better position. And that's really where it came from. We also have to remember that most business owners start their business because they love doing what they do. So for example, a fisherman who decides to open an online retail outlet selling fishing tackle absolutely can talk about fishing tackle till the cows come home, but actually has never had to do a business plan, has never run a business, and therefore doesn't really know where to start.
Absolutely. Do you know what shocked me? And it really did shock me. At the start of lockdown, when the government started announcing their various support schemes, how many businesses and business owners didn't even understand the basics of how their business was constructed. And what I mean by that, I had so many people tell me, I'm self-employed. And I go, you've got a limited company. They go, no, but I'm self-employed. You go, no, you're not. And then I had so many self-employed people go, do you know, I've never made a profit. And you go, well, what have you been living on? And they went, well, my wages.
I would completely echo that. Some of the work I do, I work for a firm of local accountants, and the number of clients I was having exactly the same conversation who didn't understand, and we don't want to turn them into accountants, but you've got to have a fundamental understanding of your structure. Are you employed? Are you not employed? Yeah. And the other thing that staggered me in the conversations I was having early on was the number of businesses that had absolutely nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
Whether that was commercially or privately, and people saying, if I can't earn this month, I'm not paying the mortgage, the rent, whatever. And if they were 22, 23, 24, I get that. They're living fast. They've got no commitments. But I was talking to people that were older than me who literally had nothing to fall back on. It's quite frightening.
Yeah. And, of course, the other side to it as well is that COVID wasn't damaging for every business.
Yeah.
Some businesses have had a huge amount of problems because there is suddenly massive demand for whatever they're selling.
Yeah.
So actually, that's when I'm talking about thinking about the downside as well as the potential upsides.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Shirley. And a lot of businesses have looked at pivoting, to use that awful term. But of course, unless you've got the cash and the resources to pivot, even if you can see something to pivot to, you can't necessarily do it. And I agree with Phil, you know, the amount of, it's quite funny, for a long, long time in one of my businesses, the Inland Revenue keep moaning at me about how much cash I've got in the business. And they keep saying, why have you got all that cash in the business? And I go, it's a contingency. And they go, no, you're investing it, aren't you? And I'm going, well, yeah, kind of, in my own business, in my contingency. Yeah. And it, blimey, it proved itself big time when this hit, because I was in the lucky position that I had contingency and I had enough cash to keep kind of the business ticking over while I sorted things out. But you're right, Phil, so many people don't. And it's not an easy thing. You know, it's not an easy thing to have contingency, but you've got to plan for it.
Well, exactly. But you also have to look forwards. Mm. And that's one of the hardest things. You know, a hard-pressed business owner who's you know, got loads on his plate tends to have their eyes on their computer or what's happening in just the area around them. Yeah. Whereas part of the planning process is all about lifting your head up and looking out what's happening in the big world.
Yeah.
Now, I was particularly shocked at how many people thought that lockdown was a big surprise.
Yeah.
When actually, you know, the stories coming out of China and the movement of coronavirus had started in January.
Yeah.
And yet we had loads of businesses that were still shocked.
Yeah.
You know, when lockdown was announced and hadn't even taken the 2 months of it might come, it might not come to do some forward planning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, right at the start of this, first of all, we were told to go home and work. So you could see it was coming because everybody was told, we'll go home. And then you thought, well, if we're all going at home, then, you know, everything's going to close, surely. Because, you know, so many businesses can't work from home, you know, like pubs and restaurants and cinemas and football stadiums and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So you're right, Shirley. The writing was in huge letters on a massive wall. And I don't want to dominate this because I want to hear you guys, but I'm fascinated by this because I've seen what you guys have seen from two points of view. As you know, I used to operate as an angel investor and invest in startup businesses. I haven't done that for a while, but and one of the reasons for that is I just got so fed up with the poor planet. You know, the only thing that passed for a business plan for most people was, you know, oh, we're going to launch an Okie Kokie 2000, and in year two, we'll make $1 million, and in year four, we'll make $4 million, and in year five, we'll all go home as billionaires.
Yeah.
And that's it,
yeah,
that's a business plan.
We've all heard
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Dragon's Den, it's exactly the same, you know, people who are doing it. And that's why we put together this business planning. It's a workbook that it takes you through step by step. But if you've never, one of the things I guess we ought to clear up is the difference between a business plan and business planning.
Yeah, sure.
A business plan is what you get at the end, which you present to the bank. But the really important work is the work that you do when you're going through the planning process, because that's when you're thinking and obviously planning.
Yeah.
So the workbook is designed that it takes you step by step through the process. So focusing on understanding your whole internal environment, what's happening in your business, your customers, your products, all of those sorts of things. And then there's a big section on looking outside. So the whole external environment, whether that's social changes, environment, economic, all of that. Also looking at customers, you know, doing a proper customer analysis.
Yeah.
And really, it's only when you've done all of that can you then get to something called a SWOT analysis, which is the bane of most people's corporate life.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because everybody's forced to do a SWOT analysis without doing all of the pre-thinking.
Yeah.
So it takes us through all of those processes. Phil can talk about the financy bit, but at the end of it, you end up with the three key pieces that you need. So one of that is a 1/2 business plan, which sets it out very clearly. The second part is a full financial forecast.
Right.
And the third part is the calendar, which is where you have all your activity. So
and I think along that, you know, look at the difference between the planning and the plan. As a business that I've been, so as you know, Shirley and I have been doing this for years and years and years with various businesses without necessarily calling it business planning in a box. It's a business that I've been working with for the last 3 years, and the whole project has been around building it for sale. One of the guys wants to retire, the other guy wants to deal with bits and pieces, which I won't bore you with. We've spent 3 years planning. This year, because of the situation, we've had, since May, probably about 8 different approaches from people wanting to buy it. But the thing is, they all say, can we get your business plan? And the answer is no, because it doesn't exist yet. We're still in that planning phase, which has proved massively beneficial. Profitability's gone from 14% to 21%. Turnover's gone up sort of 40, 50% in that time. But the crucial thing is, everyone who's looking to buy the business is looking for a distressed value. Yeah. And we're in a position of saying, one, we'd have no plans to sell till next year, so come back then. And two, and I literally had a conversation sat in my garden yesterday, somebody saying, we'll pay 5.5 times multiple for the business. And I'm in the position to say, my guys won't consider less than 7. And we know that's what it's worth. But it's all that process they've gone through the last 2 or 3 years, which means not in a position where suddenly people are selling businesses. And the guy I was speaking to yesterday has bought 3 businesses during lockdown. And that's purely because he can go in at a distressed value because he's got a strategy. Exactly. He's brought forward, he's got the capital, and he's snapping up businesses cheap. Yeah. But that's some people's lifetime work that they're having to hand over because they're out of cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the other key, one of the other key things is around resilience. Businesses, if they're going to survive, have to become resilient. To pretty much anything that's going to come their way.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses will have seen that impact already, but it's about, you know, if you've got the planning and you've done the planning, then you're starting to build resilience, which then will help you if you are forced into the situation of pivots or whatever.
It's interesting. A few years ago, I used to lecture on the MBA program at the LSE. And one of my big things was developing acuity, which is an awareness of everything that's going on around you. And what I try to say to people is, get away. It's what you mentioned earlier, Shirley. When people go into business, it's normally about something they're passionate about or something that they know in depth. The problem with that is they get sucked into what they know about that business. They don't look at what's going on outside it. And it's been my experience in business that most people that are expert in their business market eventually get killed by someone that knows nothing about it. Yeah. People come in from outside and go, why'd you do it like that then? Well, because we've always done it like that. Well, I'm going to change that. What I say to people, you've got to broaden out the way you look at these things. You've got to have more acuity about what's going on in the world, what other people are doing in other industries, how that might impact you, what are, you know, and then we come down to the SWOT, isn't it? Which is what are the threats of this and what are the opportunities of this for you? So
also that skill set around being technically very good at something doesn't mean that you're any good at sales or marketing or financing or operations or all these other bits and pieces. And there was a book out years and years ago by Michael Gerber called The E-Myth, and it was the myth of the entrepreneur, which is when is technically very good. They speak to friends, family, and various other people who all say, you're better at this than your boss. Set up your own business. But when things get a bit tough, they go back to work. They go back to delivering technical excellence when other people say, well, actually, I need to sort out just my sales planning. I need to look at who I'm trying to attract and market to. My margins are shot to pieces. That whole myth of the entrepreneur, I think it's crucial reading.
Yeah absolutely. Okay, so business planning in a box. I excitedly, like Christmas morning, open my box and I get out what's inside. And what's the first thing I have to do? What am I faced with when I get this out of the box?
Well, ironically, the first thing you need to do is to turn your phone off, turn your computer off, and go and sit somewhere quiet.
That's
the key. You need to get just a clear head, but it takes you through step by step. And what we do first is we look at internally what's happening in the business. So all the stuff that the business owner should know and probably does know, but actually hasn't given any thought to.
Right.
So there's that analysis to go through.
I think that is the first literally 2-3 pages just tell you why you should be doing this.
Right.
Kind of starts to manage expectations of what's going to be involved. And it's not actually a scary thing to do. And it's just that positioning piece around that. the benefits of business planning are, it's not just anecdotal. You can talk to some businesses and they'll say, yeah, we've been planning, it's been great. There's hard evidence out there. You know, businesses that plan, they grow sort of 30% faster than businesses that don't. If you look at businesses that are growing, nearly three quarters have got a plan in there. You're twice as likely to raise the finance you need. And you know, this has been researched over years and years and years, and the stats change depending on which report you look at. But fundamentally, it is a very, very powerful thing to do in your business. So it's that first piece of sit down and, as Shirley says, turn everything off. But this is what you're going to get engaged in now. This is what it's about. This is why you need to do it. Because I think it's that old adage, if you understand why, then you'll actually try. Because it's 60 pages, the book. It's not a template you fill in. We don't believe planning can be done just by stuffing numbers and sentences into a template. This is a planning process that ends up with a plan. It's not a plan that you just populate.
Okay. It's very much along the lines of, it introduces the topic, it explains why it's important, it explains how to do it, and then gives you some examples, and then gives you some smaller templates, I hesitate to use the word, for you to do that piece of work.
Yeah, okay. Now. Yeah.
It's not a templated business plan. So, for example, in there, there's a template which will help you to do your competitor analysis.
Right.
There's another one that will help you come up with your avatars and your target markets.
These are tools to help you. They're not, you know, fill out this form, press the button, and we'll tell you what to do. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. Can I just ask? This tool, is it useful for a startup business, early stage, an established business? Does it suit everyone?
I'd say it categorically suits everyone. I mean, the evidence again indicates that established businesses get more out of the planning process than startups, because they should understand some of their underlying metrics and key drivers. Yeah. If not, they can at least get a plan in place to start measuring them and seeing the impact. So. Yeah. Established businesses, I generally find, get a lot more out of the planning process than new startups. New startups get, they've got to put a plan together because there's nothing else for them to trade on.
That's what you do, yeah.
Sure. So it's very easy for them to get to that point. But, I mean, at any point, and again, it comes back to planning. Mm. I believe planning should be an integral part of what the business owner does.
Yeah.
Not just coming up with a business plan. And, you know, you hit on it earlier, Paul, we've all seen business plans the size of Cheshire that have been utterly, utterly useless. Yeah. And we've seen business plans that are two or three pages long. Yeah. And you're thinking, I need a bit of evidence around some of this, but that tells me what I want to hear. So it's that planning process. Something changes. You understand what that means for your business without having to run off and redraft the plan.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that always used to drive me nuts when talking to businesses, whether it was startups or investing in, established businesses, is they're always so keen to try and avoid anything negative. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go, well, okay. So they go, oh, we can make these widgets for £1 and we can sell them for 10 quid. And you go, what happens if someone starts selling them for 50p? No, they won't do that. Yeah. But what if they did?
The thing I do with investment clients is I say to them, what if the angel says to you, okay, love everything you do, love your plan. What if I gave you double the money?
Yeah.
What would that mean? When would you hit your milestones? And they can't answer that. And it's like, if you can't answer, you don't understand the metrics of your business. Because if you were suddenly given double, you should understand what impact that's going to have on your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just following off what Phil was saying, obviously established businesses are looking good at this, but we're also finding that actually startups that are serious about starting up are very keen to learn, and they will also benefit from that. But we're also finding that people that have got side hustles, who particularly through lockdown have been able to grow their side hustle, are now actually thinking, perhaps we could jack in the job and make this a business.
Yep.
And the business planning in a box, therefore, would be good for them because it would really push them to make sure that they are making the right decision before they jump.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to see a lot of startups over the next year or so, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because unemployment is going to hit the roof.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, on jobs in Kent, we got virtually no jobs. But we had 18 million hits last month to the website.
Sure.
You know, and we're getting 1,000, 2,000 people applying for each job. I think a lot of people are going to go, do you know what, I'm going to try and work for myself, as if that was an easy answer.
The number of people that are going to pile their redundancy money, whatever it is, into something that is fundamentally not going to work. And rather than go through business plan in a box and come to the conclusion that it's not going to work, then pile, you know, a couple of grand into a website, for example, because it will just fund it. We'll do the website, we'll do the logo, we'll get the business cards, we'll get the email addresses, all of that fun stuff. But you're looking at it thinking in 8 months' time, 10 months' time, you'll be in exactly the same position, just without that redundancy package to back you up.
Okay. We're kind of approaching the end of our time. So where are you guys in terms of the launch of business planning in a box? What stage are you guys at?
So
and
we're
have you got an alternative plan?
We have seven. You can visit the website, so bpiab.co.uk, and download not just the workbook there, but there's some other bits and pieces on, like, you know, 57 questions every business owner should ask himself. But the big thing we're pushing at the moment is Black Friday's on the horizon, Cyber Monday. It's a tailor-made event for businesses to sell more, whether you're in services or you're actually shipping stuff out of a greengrocer's. Okay. It's a tailor-made thing. The hashtags are all done and dusted and ready for you to go. There's a lot of hype around it, and almost all small businesses do not jump on that bandwagon and really make it a success. So our primary focus right now is the business planning in a box is always going to be there, but in the next 2-3 weeks, there's something you can do, which is hit our website and download a workbook, which will focus in on just that Black Friday event.
Okay, fantastic.
We've also found businesses that have tried Black Friday in the past and have ended up losing a load of money. So this is 12 ways that you can make Black Friday financial success.
You can make it work for you. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Listen, Phil, Shirley, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Give us a shout out again for the website address where people can find out more about business planning in a box.
Yeah, so it's bpiab.co.uk. So businessplanninginabox.co.uk.
We'll put the link to the website on the Business Bunker Radio website, so it'll be there for people to find. Listen, guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. I love what you're doing. It's a fantastic thing. I'm going to sign up for it because I need it.
Excellent.
I've only been in business 30 years, and I need to get my head around this now.
Well, you know what they say, Paul? Every day is a school day.
Exactly.
My wife says to me, but I'm not
lovely to see you guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy your afternoon, and we'll see you again soon.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Channel 2.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk. in association with bizradio.co.uk. That was Shirley Mansfield and Phil Bevan, Business in a Box.
They sound lovely, those
Yeah,
two.
It was a bit loud and a bit echoey. I'm sorry about the quality of the recording there, but...
What we can in COVID time.
Yeah, exactly. But the principle behind it is fantastic. I am going to sign up for it, as I said there at the end of the interview, because I think it is a very useful tool. And as I said, it's not just a template. It's what I call a thinking tool. It's a tool that helps you to think about what you're doing and really attack what you're doing. And while we were listening to that, we were chatting in the studio about such things and about, you know, doing things differently and challenging the status quo, and it's about challenging the status quo in our own business as well, and looking at how we could do things differently, better and more efficiently. So do check it out, have a look at that on their website, which is Business in a Box, BIAB.co.uk, I do believe. Anyway, the links are on the Kent Business Radio website. It's now time in the show to do the Federation of Small Business roundup of events and webinars and things that are happening.
Should we do our own jingle now?
Yeah, I haven't had a jingle made yet. I'm going to have a jingle.
Ready?
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bong, bing. The FSB.
Yeah, you got it. Nice one. Would you like to represent small businesses in local council board and stakeholder meetings? We're looking for driven, passionate business owners who understand Kent and what it's like to run a small business. You would attend meetings, mostly online for the foreseeable future, share the FSB's key policy messages and research while raising the profile of your own firm. Then feedback any key points to the Kent FSB team. If you're interested in taking part in this, please contact the development manager, Alison Palmer, and you can email Alison at alison.palmer, P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk. So if you fancy getting involved in the local council and stakeholder meetings, do drop Alison an email. There's an event on Wednesday the 21st of October. That'll be manana, won't it?
That is.
It is, tomorrow. 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. How to effectively manage your finances and your mental health. The virtual event will explain financial support options that are available to you and signpost mental health resources to help keep you and your staff healthy. Okay. If you want to register for this event, fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Kent, effectively manage your finances. Making the most of your membership. Have your insurance requirements changed? Is your renewal due? The FSB Insurance Service has been focusing on supporting members through the COVID-19 pandemic and understands that your insurance requirements may have changed as you've adapted your business. If you've got any questions about your current insurance, even if you're not an FSB insurance policyholder or your renewal is due soon, you can give them a call Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.30 on 020-383-7976. Or you can find out more by visiting their website, which is www.fsb-insurance-service.com. That's fsb-insurance-service.com. My pages are stuck together.
Oh, you don't want that.
You don't want that,
no,
do you?
Prise them apart with your fingernail.
I'll prise them apart with my fingernail, shall I?
All the tips coming over here.
Yeah. There's a networking event taking place on Wednesday the 4th of November from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. On maximising your membership. So if you are an FSB member, it's to go over all the things that you're entitled to as a member, because there's a lot of them and people forget what they're entitled to as a member. It's a free event. If you want to go on it, 11 a.m. to 12, all of the events are virtual. So you can book on fsb.org.uk/event calendar/ Kent Maximise Membership. There's a Women in Business Big Zoom Brunch. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll synchronise their food, you know, yeah, have the same sort of thing.
Well, I did one the other day. Somebody invited me to a Zoom lunch, and yeah. I'm sitting there going, well, when's lunch coming then? Yeah. I expected them to have Deliveroo or something, bring it to me, but no, apparently I had to get my own.
Well, if you listen to the Scoff and Quaff show, which is now up on Channel Radio, you'll hear that one of my guests, which was Patchwork Foods are doing a virtual Christmas hamper.
Is that the old granola?
Yeah, you've been listening.
I have.
They're doing a virtual Christmas hamper. So each person who's in their own house has exactly the same hamper with all their lovely homemade chutneys and they do amazing pâtés and things, of which I've partaken.
Good.
You can hear that on Channel Radio.
Yeah, you've also partaken in a few baked yogurts as well,
hear. Oh, yeah, you heard that as well.
Yeah, don't go there. Yeah. Anyway, so there's a Women in Business Big Zoom Brunch on Thursday.
I'm wearing them now.
Yeah. On Thursday the 12th of November, 10 a.m. to 11:30 p.m, FSB Chair for Women in Business, Deborah Turner, invites you to join her for a solid 90 minutes of the best networking you can get this side of Christmas. Meet individuals in the Zoom breakout rooms, make new business contacts, have fun and learn something new from fellow female entrepreneurs. To register for that event, it's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Kent Women in Business. There's Maidstone Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 25th of November, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners and everyone is welcome. The guest speaker will be Amy Payne. Oh, I've heard Amy speak before. She's from Kent Police. Mm. She's from the Prevent and Protect Cyber Office for Kent and Essex Serious Crime Directorate, and she'll be discussing how to keep your businesses safe online and free cyber resources available for business. To book that, fsb.org.uk/event calendar/fsb Maidstone Virtual Networking. That's Wednesday the 25th of November. You need to go along to that. Amy Payne is brilliant. She's the cyber specialist for Kent Police, as she says, Kent and Essex Serious Crime. Really interesting, really entertaining, and really informative. You know, we were talking earlier about my mum and Amanda and people getting scammed and stuff like that.
And me on Instagram, I got scammed for a coat, $59.99.
Yeah, well, Amy will keep you up to date with all the latest scams and phishing emails and all the things that are happening. And more importantly, what you can do. You know, a lot of people get these things and don't know what to do about
them. Well, that's true, because you told of, I know we all get phished and spammed quite a lot and scammed.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to do, because you're not going to phone up your local police station and tell them, because nothing much would happen, I don't think.
Well, that's true. So that's why you need to listen to Amy, because she'll tell you where to send them.
Exactly.
I'm remembering this off the top of my head, so I might be wrong. It's phishing@gov.uk. Phishing spelt with a PH.
Swish.
Yeah.
Phishing.
Yeah, but basically there is a central email coordinating point for the United Kingdom where you can report these kind of scams.
That's what they should
emails.
Be, because I know a few years ago I thought we were miles behind with it all, but hopefully they're investing some money and training in it now.
Well,
cul-de-sac. his fingers are going round and round this, and I wish you were here. He's doing a little signal.
It's an arms race, is what I was trying to say.
Okay. Well, they should have done that then, shouldn't you?
It's an arms race. You know, as they develop new things, then
so
the authorities stop them, and then the
cyber
criminals invent a new thing, and then something new comes along which they stick their oar into. And so, but you still get the old originals, my old favourites, you know, Chief Ubunumi from Nigeria with his 401 scam, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've got £1 million, and if you launder it for me, da, 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 da. There's some people have made some legitimate money out of those, though, just writing books about their responses. I don't know if you've ever seen any of them. There's a chap called Bob Servant, who's a fictitious character written by a comedian, and he was replying to these emails by stringing them along, and then he put the whole email thing in a book, and it was lovely, you know, because, you know, a lot of them come along and they go, by the grace of God, you know, and he would write back and go, I'm so pleased that you believe in our Lord, and that was all he would say. Yeah. And then they'd come back and go, yes, we believe in the Lord now anyway, we've got this money. And then he'd go, yeah, blimey, you've got £1 million, wow. And then they go, yeah, we have, and we want to share it with you. And he'd go, well, I prayed to the Lord for some luck like this, and it seems like my prayers have been, you know. So he carried this on for ages, until eventually the scammers would get really annoyed with him and go, you're just stringing us along. You're not going to do this, are you?
Oh, I like that. I must read that book.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you finished your FSB now?
I have finished my FSB news roundup,
right, so
yeah.
Bing bong. That was the FSB.
Thank you.
Special. There is an expert panellist wanted, and it's the Financial Ombudsman Service, and they're looking for a new SME expert panel members whose expertise and experience can help it reach the right decisions in resolving complaints. It's looking for people who have experience operating at board level who could be called in on a variety of areas, including commercial insurance and also forensic accounting. And please go to www.vacancies.financial-ombudsman.org.uk.
Cool. Have you got something else to read?
I have.
We'll read it.
Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them. This is about the Maidstone Awards that we mentioned earlier on Twitter with weddings, eventy people. Who were they? Remind me. Diamond Weddings.
Diamond Circle Weddings.
Thank you. No coffee. 2 days, 48 hours. So they say, why not enter the MStone, that's a hashtag, MStone Awards 2020 or hashtag Ashford Awards 2020. Do it now. It's a free entry. And you can go to 3Ws businessawardskent.co.uk for that one.
Do you know, this is the first year in I don't know how many years.
You haven't hosted
Well,
it.
I haven't hosted any awards at all.
I haven't been there noshing and heckling you.
I normally do at least 10 or 15 award dinners a year, and I haven't done any.
I know.
I'm wasting away.
I know. Well, it's strange, isn't it? You know, we do our virtual ones, but they're not the same.
Yeah.
Never as good.
No.
Depends.
It's hard to do virtual award dinners, isn't it? And make them successful.
Yeah.
I'm going to try reading this out. It's not easy when you're talking about HMRC, but I'm going to go for it anyway. From the 1st of March 2021, the way VAT is collected in the construction industry is set to change. You can find out how your construction business will be affected and what you need to do about it now by joining a live webinar. You can ask questions using the on-screen text box. And it's how to apply the VAT reverse charge for construction services. Find out when to apply the VAT reverse charge, how to show the reverse charge on your invoices, how your business may be affected, and what to do if you make a mistake. Because, of course, nobody's really going to make a mistake with this, are they? Because it's not as if it's complicated or anything.
Of course not.
And what they're asking for is bricklayers and plumbers and plasterers to work out this utter nonsense. So there's a webinar and you can choose when to view the webinar. Yeah. So you go into the address I'm going to give you, then you can choose a date and time to attend, and then you can attend it and you can ask your questions. Reverse charge VAT was due to come in March this year. Of course, they've shelved it due to COVID. It's now been scheduled for March 2021. I wouldn't hold your breath because they're not going to be ready, but you need to find out about it at some point. And to do that, you go to register.gotowebinar.com. Campaigns SEP7. So register.gotowebinar.com/campaign SEP7.
Do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services? And do you want to reach more customers? Check out our new Green Business Hub platform. You can go to greenbusinesshub.eco. And also there are bounce back loan schemes. There is a hashtag for that, which is hashtag bounce back loan schemes. And it closes on the 4th of November. Many small business owners have benefited from this financial support. So you can actually get between 2K and 50K, no repayments, they say, for 12 months with a 2.5% interest loans. And they're available through at British B Bank. And if you want to find out more, you can go to www.british-business-bank.co.uk, put in a /, and find the bounce back loans.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I'm just trying to catch up and make sure we haven't missed any.
A lot of tweets.
The tweets, because there was an awful lot of tweets today. Somebody keeps posting no more nails. I'm not sure why they're doing that.
No more
nails.
Is
that nails. Some other conversation they're having?
Maybe.
Chips and Dinks have sent a rather... Looks like your mum. They've sent a gif that looks like Ruth dancing. And they said, we loved the cheesy music choice this week.
I don't think it was cheesy at all today. I thought it was just wonderful.
Ain't that your mum?
That's definitely my mum.
It's
your
mum.
Yeah,
definitely.
But her hair's longer now because of lockdown.
Oh, well, it would be. So's mine and I haven't got any.
Got longer and longer and longer. And I was like posting a little hair grips that I'd bought online, you know, through the door. Now we've made her keep it long because it looks fab. Sonia has hooked up on the Twitter. I'm not allowed to say hooked up because it means something different.
Well, you've said it twice now today.
In America, it means something different. So it's nice to see Sonia is hooking up with Tazy 64 and they're going to have a lovely chat.
Cool.
I like that. You can book your place on the Brighter Futures online event and discover how your business can access a range of training and support programs, as well as being able to virtually meet and talk to potential trainees. And the practical and informative online morning session will cover how businesses can access and capitalise over the Chancellor's new employment initiatives. Because, of course, you're going to retrain, aren't you, as a ballet dancer, apparently?
I am.
Yeah. You can save
the date. There's even pictures of me doing it, apparently.
In a lovely pink tutu.
Yeah.
You can save the date. It's the 28th of October, and there is an event agenda. You'll find it all on Skills. Well, you can find it on Kent Business Radio or mail skills@medway.gov.uk for that.
Right. I'm going to take a deep breath and read this one. It's another government missive.
Oh, I won't be able to understand.
Yeah, it's the job retention bonus guidance is now live. Yeah, because they've changed the scheme again. Further guidance for the job retention bonus is now available. It includes information about how you can check if your employees are eligible and when you can claim the bonus. You'll be able to claim a one-off payment of £1,000 for every eligible employee you furloughed and claimed for through the coronavirus job retention scheme and kept continuously employed until at least the 31st of January 2021. You do not have to pay this money to your employee. Yeah. To be eligible, employees must earn at least £1,560 between the 6th of November 2020 and the 5th of February 2021 and have received earnings in the November, December and January tax months. Employees must also not be serving a contractual or statutory notice period for you on the 31st of January. You will be able to claim the bonus from the 15th of February until the 31st of March once you've submitted PAYE information for the period up to the 5th of February. I'm going to ask questions about this later, so I hope you're all paying attention.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah. We'll let you know how you can make...
Sonia's making notes.
Yeah, yeah. We'll let you know how you can make a claim when further guidance is published at the end of January. You can still claim the job retention bonus if you make a claim for the same employees through the job support scheme as long as you meet the eligibility criteria for both. Further information can be found on gov.uk by searching job retention bonus guidance. What you need to do now is if you intend to claim in a darkened room. Yeah, if you intend to claim the job retention bonus, you must keep your PAYE submissions up to date and on time with real-time information reporting for all employees, including reporting the leaving date for any employees that stop working for you in the month they leave or the next full payment submission. Use the irregular payment pattern indicator in RTI for any employees not paid regularly. Provide an employee data for past coronavirus job retention scheme claims that the HMRC have requested and make sure that all your coronavirus job retention scheme claims have been accurately submitted and you have told us about as many changes as needed.
Have a breath.
Do you know, sometimes you think they design these things just to put you off applying for them, really, don't you?
To bamboozle.
But then
you.
There are some people out there that will see that as a challenge and go, I don't care how much it costs me, I'm going to get my £1,000 by complying with all of that.
It's a shame.
So there we are.
Well, that went quickly, didn't it, Paul Andrews?
Yeah, have you finished all of your stuff?
Well, it's you've got 1 minute.
Yeah,
I've got a very short thing if you want me to gabble it.
Yeah, gabble
okay,
it.
Okay, so take advantage of our family business discovery workshops. You can join Anita Brightley Hodges, another double barrel name there. Anita B. Hodges, you'll find her on the Twitter. And it's an inspiring motivational day for you to work on the future of your family business. Whether you work with cousins, uncles, grandparents, in-laws, all scenarios will benefit. Please go to www.familybusinessplace.com/discovery workshop. Find her on @AnitaB.Hodges.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've kind of reached the end of the show.
Yeah, I told you that.
We're just about there. You managed to prolong that by having a little sidetrack into something.
I've got to go.